Well, I have just realized this morning that we have been doing a great injustice because someone has returned home who has been serving in the military, and so Jordan Morris, it is good to have you back. So. Sundays, he's been back for quite a while, but he doesn't really make a lot of noise, so a little bit. I do want to mention, you know, if anyone wants to know how to reheat pizza, come on Wednesday at 5:30, and I'll teach you how to do it, and you can help me with that. We have a very good crew, but they're small and somewhat slow. Hi, I'm not referring to you. I'm referring to me. So anyway, we still could use some help with the pizza cooking thing. It's really kind of a great thing. You know, you can come at 5:15 or so like that, and you can be gone by 6:15. So it's like an hour, and you really don't even have to be nice to kids. We find it useful in the kitchen. So anyway, but if you're willing to do that, or if you happen to be in Pullman and we're willing to pick up some pizza, we do it 3 times a week, Friday, Monday, and Wednesday. They want it that way, and also by doing it that way, we pick up smaller amounts. We get about anywhere from 15 to 20 a day that we go and pick it up. So anyway, just throwing that out there, and you know, if you want a way that you can help. I would love to have your help. So today we're going to finish up the Lord's Prayer. We've been working on this thing most of the summer, and which is pretty amazing for a prayer that is not very long. You know, it's just like 4 verses is all it comes to, but we're going to close it up today. And this last petition that we're going to look at is by no ways the least of the petitions, and is something that actually is extremely important to us. And so I'm going to have us do something a little bit different today. I would like you to join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer. If you need to cheat, it's going to be up on the screen. And as I told you last week, I have things really well memorized until I get up here and look at people, and then I forget everything I remember. So anyway, but would you please join me as we do the Lord's Prayer? We're going to start with, in verse 9, just go ahead and read what's on the screen. So would you join me? Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Words that I'm sure you have spoken many times and in many different places, and but words that I just don't think we understand the full power and what is being said here. This prayer was given to us by the Lord Himself. These are the words that He gave to us, not as we would just by rote to recite these words, although it's good to do from time to time, but He gave it to us as a model of the things that are important, the things that we should be asking for when we come to the Lord in prayer. And today we're going to focus on verse 13, and let me reread that for you. Verse 13 is, And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This verse can be very easily misunderstood. Because if we look at it, it appears here that what Jesus is saying is that we are to ask God not to lead us into temptation. And so the inference here is that God tempts us. But one of the things we need to clear up immediately is that God does not tempt us. God does not tempt us. Temptations don't come from God. James makes that very clear in the letter he wrote in verse chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." God is not the source of our temptations. Now, oftentimes we get temptations and trials mixed up. They're very different. They're very different. Because God does allow us to go through trials. He does that. If you look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, where we read that God is trying Abraham. And he's trying his faith. He's putting him through this test to grow Abraham, to see how Abraham is doing. So we do go through trials, and God does allow us to go through trials. Now, Warren Wiersbe, and I like to read his commentaries because he writes very plain so that I can understand. But in his commentary on the New Testament, he writes this about the difference between trials and temptations. He says, God sends trials to bring out the best in us. God sends trials to bring out the best to us. Then he said, see Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 1. But Satan sends temptations to bring out the worst in us. So God allows us to go through He allows us to go through trials so that we can grow, so that we can build faith and we can build trust in Him. Satan brings us temptations to destroy us, to pull us down, to weaken us, to destroy our walk with God. So when we look at this passage of Scripture and it says, do not lead us into temptation. Remember, God is not tempting us. Satan, well, we're going to look at the sources because we like to blame Satan for our temptations. We like to blame Satan for everything that happens in our life. And it is true that he is the original tempter of man, but it's also true that man followed him. And remember that there is a difference there, and what Jesus is not implying that God leads us into temptations, but what he is asking here is God, help us with our temptations. Help us when we are tempted. Give us strength. You got to put those two phrases together because it's lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil, from all evil, or from evil. And you got to put those together. God does not tempt us, but we are going to be tempted. Temptation is unfortunately a fact of life. They come. They're not from God, but they do come, and they can cause a lot of problems. So we are supposed to ask God to help us when temptations come and to deliver us from evil. Now, there's some translations that have put in the evil one, and again, implying that we're looking at Satan. Okay, so that's going to move us to the sources of temptation. What are the sources of temptation? Well, I have three that I've come up with, and you might find more. But of course, the main source of temptation is Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him. He's kind of our main source. Like I said, he started the whole ball rolling, and we jumped right on the rolling ball, and we've done an avalanche now, wrong direction. But we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Paul writes, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle," and I love this one, "our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." But he mentions the devil. He mentions Satan in here. And so we like to cast all our failures on Satan. Years ago, I don't know why this keeps coming to mind when I talk about this, but years ago, there was a TV show, and there was a comedian on it. His name was Flip Wilson. I don't know how many of you know Flip Wilson. Remember Flip Wilson? Because that shows how old you guys are. But Flip Wilson used to have one phrase that he used a lot. And he'd use it in kind of a high-pitched voice, and he would always say, "The devil made me do it," you know. And we've heard that repeated, and we've heard even children, you know, "Well, I think the devil made me do that." You know, it's like, "Well, you didn't do it?" "No, the devil made me do that." But there's still a me in there. I don't want to discount Satan. He's powerful. He does not want to see any of us succeed in our spiritual walk. He does not want to see any of us have a relationship with God. He wants to spoil things. He's not a good guy. And he's powerful. He's powerful. We can't stand against Satan. We can't. He's a powerful being. He was at one time an archangel of God. So we can't deal with him. We can't fight him on our own strength, with our own abilities. We can't do that. And so it's kind of, at this point, you say, "Well, it's kind of hopeless then. I mean, if Satan's our main source of temptation and we can't fight against him, I guess we're in trouble." And it's like, "Well, I'm going to give you some ways of victory over temptation so that, no, you don't have to necessarily worry about what Satan can do to you." Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." So Satan is always working to bring us down. And, I think Satan probably did this himself. See, Satan in our world has painted a very dark picture of himself. We see him as this hideous being that scares people and stuff like that. We see him as this red-suited character with a pitchfork and horns and a tail with a, whatever the tail has on the end, an arrow on the end of it or something like that. So we think that, well, Satan identification is very easy, isn't it? We know what he looks like. But do we realize that Satan also appears as an angel of light? See, his main course of action against us is deception. He deceives us. He gives us alternate ways to do things, but they aren't the right way to do things. And that is a temptation. And they come to us in many forms and in many ways. And, you know, we need to be wary of his work. He's still alive and well in this world today. But he's not the only problem we have. The other problem that we have, or a source of temptation for us, is the world. The world itself. The world has come under the influence of Satan. He is controlling our world, and so the things of this world can be a very enticing temptation to us. John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. You know, it's interesting. The world hates us, but we're so desiring to be in love with the world. But John also has something to say to that in his first letter, towards the end of the Bible, John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he says, do not love the world, nor anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So there's all kinds of enticing things in this world. And some of them are really hard to see that they're bad or that they're leading us away from God. You know, one of the things, kind of an evil necessity, is money. You know, we do need to have money. It comes in really handy when you go to the grocery store. They very seldom let you take the cart of groceries out and say, yeah, I don't have any money, but I'll owe you, you know. No, they want your money or they want your signature on a little slip that says that the credit card company will pay you, and figuring that you'll pay the credit card company. We need money, but we shouldn't love it. We shouldn't desire it. See, and that's the problem. We need it, but the world says we should desire it. We should make as much of it as we possibly can. And how much is enough? Just one more dollar. I don't remember who said that, so I'm not going to try to buffalo you, but I know someone says, how much is enough? One more dollar. See, that's the love of money. It's not evil. It's of this world. But, you know, so we have that temptation that comes from the world. And, of course, the world bombards us. If you watch TV at all, you are bombarded with all things that you really need to have if you want to live. I mean, you need a new car, but you don't need just one new car. You need five new cars. And one of them has to be a Cadillac, or one of them has to be an Acura, or a Lexus, you know, a Hyundai. But, you know, we are constantly told, we need this, we need this, we need this. Now, again, it's a necessary evil. We need a car. We live in a place where there's not a very good bus system. And so if you want to go somewhere, you need to get in the car and drive. And, you know, I have a whole bunch of cars in my driveway. If you put them all together, they maybe would make one so-so car. But they give me where I'm going. And, yeah, they're ugly. But, you know, they work. Do I want a new car? I do. I really do. But is that desire for that going to drive me to buy a vehicle that is $40,000, $50,000, $60,000? Because that's what some vehicles run nowadays. In fact, I was looking on Craigslist at used cars. And there was a used... Let me see. It's a... Maserati, something like that. $98,000 for a used car. Now, I assume it flies. It's got to do something special for anyone to pay that kind of money for that car, and yet people will do it. People will spend that kind of money, and we are enticed and tempted to spend money on things that really aren't important and not to spend money on things that are important. See, the world tempts us all the time, and I'm not even going to get into the lust factors of, if you watch TV, you know, why is it they think that a beautiful young girl can sell life insurance or whatever? You know, it's kind of like, so what is the connection here? She's like 20. And you're talking about old age insurance, you know? I mean, why not have some older person showing that? Well, you know, the thing is they want you to look at her, not what they're selling. They want you to buy her, not what they're selling. I did psychology when I was in college, and we had a class on how the media directs us and moves us and pushes us this direction or that direction in commercials and how they can tempt us. You know, and it's scary. It's scary. The world is a scary thing. And we aren't supposed to be in love with the world. Now, does that mean we hate everything in the world? No, there are some pretty good things in this world. But anything that you have to sacrifice your spiritual walk for becomes an idol. And that is always a temptation. So, we have Satan who's in control of the world, so the world's a temptation to us. And the last thing that is a source of temptation, quite frankly, it's ourselves. Ourselves. Listen to what James says in verses 14 to 15. This is after he says, don't blame God for your temptation. He says, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. James, as my wife pointed out, isn't typically a cheerful writer, but he does put it very plainly. He says, don't blame God, look at yourself. We are tempted when we are carried away and enticed by our own lusts and our own desires. We are sinful people. And we don't need, at this point, Satan or the world to help us sin. We can do it on our own. And we do. And so, yes, we are a source of temptation in ourselves, our own appetites, our own desires, our own lusts, our own visions of the future, what we think we should be or where we think we should go, but without asking God, on the contrary, for what God wants us to do. We are oftentimes our own worst enemy when it comes to temptations. So, oftentimes, pastors get blamed for, okay, you beat us over the head, and you beat us, and you beat us, and you beat us, and then you say, amen, go and have a good life. But you don't do anything to help us. I'm going to help you right now. I'm going to give you some hope in this thing, because if you don't have this, it's scary. It really is scary. Because what are you going to do? How are you going to be able to stand in this world if we don't have a way to have victory over temptation? Well, we do. And I'm going to mention a couple things very quickly and then focus more on the last thing, because these other two things are actually sermons in themselves. First of all, we have victory over temptation through God's Word. Through God's Word. Psalms 119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And then again in verse 11 of Psalms 119, it says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. And Psalms 19 is just, 119 is just full of God's word. That whole psalm is about God's word, and it's very long. But it talks about the power and the strength that God's Word gives us, and the importance of God's Word in our lives. So, God's Word. If you're in God's Word, you're not going to be tempted. Secondly, you can have victory over temptation by putting on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might." Now that's really important. This is a sermon in itself. But it says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Okay? Armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6. It'd be a great study. We're not going to talk about that today, but that's another way of having victory. Is putting on the full armor of God, and it's described after this, after verse 13. But the last thing that I want to mention that gives us victory over temptation is what we've been talking about for the last 2 months. It's prayer. It's prayer. Asking God to help us. Asking God to protect us and to deliver us from evil. You say, well, that's simple. It is simple. But we need to do that. And not when evil has come upon us, but we need to do this on a daily basis. Why wait until you're in trouble to pray? Why not pray to begin with? And maybe God will help you through the trouble. Maybe you won't have the trouble. Maybe you won't have the temptation if God is protecting you. But prayer is so important to us. Ephesians 6:18 says, "With all prayers and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints." Pray. Bring everything to God at all times. Not just at the time that you're being tempted. Yes. Yes, please. If you're being tempted, throw up a prayer for help. We talked about that in our Sunday school class, and I wish you could have all been there because we had such a wonderful discussion on it. And yes, it's very appropriate for you to throw up that prayer for help. But stop to think about, well, what about if in the morning you prayed that God would help you from the very beginning of the day? Then you wonder, would the temptation be there? Would the temptation be there? But prayer. Prayer is our strength in a time of temptation. Prayer is our help. And that's why Jesus put this in here. Now, do you remember, Jesus was tempted like we are. In fact, he was probably tempted worse than we were tempted. Go back to the beginning of the Gospels, and it talks about as Jesus begins his ministry, the temptations that he had. And then, at the very end of his life, he is tempted again, and the temptation is to not to go through with what he's doing. "If this cup can be removed from me," he's asking God that. In prayer. But then he surrenders to God in prayer. He said, "But not my will, but yours." So we know that that was a temptation. We know that this was something that yes, Jesus willingly did, but it was not easy for him. And there was the temptation to not go through with it, but he prayed. In fact, he prayed 3 times about it. And God saw him through it. God's on Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Prayer is a tremendous source of victory over the temptations that we face. It will give you strength. God will give you that strength. Now, you know, I said earlier, we cannot stand up against the devil. We cannot on our own, but with God's strength, we can. But God doesn't automatically give us this strength. He wants us to ask Him for it. And when we ask Him, He gives it to us. Now, God desires for us to be strong. He wants us to be strong, and if we ask Him for strength, He will give it to us. Does that mean that temptations will not come? No. They're going to come. As long as you're alive, Satan's going to be working on you. You're going to be living in the world, and you've got to live with yourself. As long as you're on this earth, those three things are going to be factors in your life. And so with those three things being factors in your life, you're going to have temptation. But you don't have to yield to it. And you don't have to face it alone. That's what Jesus is saying here. Ask God to protect and deliver you. But He wants to do that. He wants to do that. Especially after you just prayed, forgive me my sins. Because see, at that point, God forgives your sins and you're put in that right relationship again, and Satan goes to work. He says, that's not going to stay. And so he wants to knock you down. Have you ever noticed whenever you try to do something good, it seems like something's fighting you so hard? And one of the things that I always warn a new believer is watch out. Watch out. Because someone doesn't want you to make this decision. Someone doesn't want you to go that direction. And you need help. So watch out. So Jesus knows personally. In His life, He has faced the temptations. And I'm sure there were temptations for Jesus on a daily basis. We have the big group mentioned at the beginning and at the end of His ministry. I have got to believe there were temptations all through His life. Satan was trying to trip Him up, and of course that would have been disaster for us had He done it, but He did not. But I believe that Jesus is telling His disciples, you are going to be tempted. It's going to happen, but here's how you can have victory over those temptations. Come to me in prayer. Come to God in prayer. Ask Him. Ask Him to protect you. Ask Him to deliver you. And then I'm going to just throw this in and believe that He will. Listen, as I close, just use this verse in closing. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is as common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. God is there for us at all times, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of our lives. God is there for us. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that You would help us in the times of temptation. Lord, we know they're going to come. So we ask You now, help us. Give us that strength to stand firm against Satan, to stand firm against the world, and to stand firm against ourselves. Lord, deliver us from these trials. Help us to rest assured that You are there for us. That if we ask, You will give us deliverance. If we ask, You will give us the strength that we need to resist temptation when they come upon us. Father, thank You for the Lord's Prayer, for the power that is in it, for everything that it provides. Lord, it is a total prayer. It covers everything. that we need. Thank you for giving us this prayer as a model for us, that we might live accordingly, following it in our prayer life, having the strength that comes only from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stay with